Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Heroes of Our Faith, Overcoming and Conquering.
Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 4 through 7. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We've been in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 1 through 3, and now they begin to call names, and you have to ask the question, why didn't they start with Adam and Eve? They start with Cain. Disobedient can get your name erased. I'm going to tell somebody else, disobedience can get your name permanently erased. I got to obey God. I don't care what it costs me, I have to obey God, because my name been written somewhere that I definitely don't want it erased. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Listen what this says, God testifying of his gift, and by it, he being dead, yet it speaketh. You can obey and walk in faith, and your life will still be speaking, and you already dead. You can be alive, and your name is erased. And dead, but your life speaking. Somebody say real loud, Lord, help me obey. Lord, help me obey. I think sometimes we read a little bit too fast and we miss what he said by an inference. Verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. I'm going to get there. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. You cannot convince too many atheists, agnostics, doubters, because they doubt God before they ever come to him. And God said, you can't come to me until you believe that I am. So we're trying to convince some people that don't believe he's God, that he's God, and the scriptures have already told them, you can't convince until they at least confess that he is God. I'm going to tell you, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time this season. Don't waste your time this season. Don't waste your time this season. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And you guys know my rules of interpretation, amen, that I take, amen, from better scholars than myself. Amen. The first interpretation we take, we take it at face value. And the face value says you can't come to him until you first believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Reverence, that word in the Greek there means reverence. He moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith. By faith, Abel offered. By faith, Enoch was translated. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God things not seen as yet, moved with fear. For a few moments this morning, I want to talk about Abel. I want to talk about Enoch. I want to talk about, amen, Noah. And I want to talk about it from this wise, building by the examples of the faithful. Abel, faithful. Enoch, faithful. Noah, faithful. Can't wait till next week. If the Lord say the same, we're going to get to Abraham, who bridges the Old Testament to the New Testament. He brings us into being a people of faith, for we are of Abraham's seed. We are of Abraham's children, children of faith. But today I got to hang out with Abel and Enoch and Noah. We're building by the example of the faithful. Lord, now guide my hand, guide my heart, Lord. Now speak through me, God. Give me articulation of speech. Let me declare your truth. Let me say what it is that you have said. Let me speak in this place, Lord. You speak through me. Make my words powerful, God. Make my word life-changing, energetic, God, that people rise up. For you said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. Lord, send forth the word, whether it's the ones hitting here or the ones that are now listening by, oh God, the way of the internet, oh God, in the way of, oh God, Facebook Live, God. Lord, speak through me, Lord. Cause dead bones to live, God. Call healing to manifest. You said you sent your word and it healed us. God, I see something greater now, Lord. And let me preach, oh God, to that greatness, Lord. Let me preach to that possibility that we will now build by the examples of the faithful. And as we do it, we'll be careful to give your name the glory. We give your name the praise and honor. And oh, God's people said amen and amen. Say, I am building by the example of the faithful. Come on, say it a little bit loud for me. Say, I am building by the example of the faithful. Thank you, Holden. Thank you, minstrels. Thank you, psalmist. Thank you, security. Thank you, hospitality. We are now building by the examples of the faithful. We must now be able to observe our personal space, what's happening. We must now look at what's going on in our communities and even the happenings that are going on within the world and be able to declare that all is well and that God has more for us. One writer said, this is the word of faith in which we preach. We must be able to look at all circumstances, all situations, the good, the bad, not so sure about, and still be able to declare all is well. How can we do this with everything that would happen? I say that easily by giving to you Romans 8 and 28, and we do know that all things work together. It didn't say all things that are working together will be good, would be positive. We're just told that when it's finished, it's going to work together for our good because we love him and we're called according to his purpose. Always speak faith. Come on, do me a favor. Tell somebody, always speak faith. Always speak faith. If you can't speak faith, then you might need to shut it down. I said that nicely. Sometimes when you can't speak faith, you might need to shut it down because the writer of Proverbs told us life and death lies in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat thereof, the fruit thereof. You are now living out what you said yesterday. Know when to shut it down. Come on, do me a favor. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, know when to shut it down. Know when to shut it down. If I don't know the words of faith to speak, if I don't know how to speak it, or if I have doubt, I need to know how to shut it down and sometimes just take it to the Lord in prayer. Because there's a lot going on around us. And I'm convinced this lot that's going on around us, a lot of it is intentional trying to mess with our faith. It's trying to mess with our faith. Because I really believe Slayton understands this. I can't do nothing with them till I get them outside of faith. I can't handle them if they walk by faith. I can't handle them if they speak faith-filled words. I can't handle them as long as they believe that there is a God somewhere. As long as they are in faith, I look for avenues, but every weapon I form, it does not prosper. So we've got to stay in faith with our words and our actions and not stagger at the promises of God. And then again, I'm going to say it again because I heard the Holy Spirit nudging me to say it. Even knowing how to let quiet and confidence be our strength. All these examples in the book of Hebrews, they remained in faith. You get towards the end of it, and I won't get there today. Amen. Some of them, the Bible says, they died in faith having not received the promise. How are you going to walk out the rest of your journey understanding that some of the stuff you believe in, God might choose just not to do? Will that make you doubt him? Will that cause you to call him something else? Because we cannot forget that he's sovereign. We cannot forget that he's everlasting to everlasting. We cannot forget he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And sometimes the very thing that we wanted and desired, he done shook his head and said, no. It ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna do that. Oh, I ain't gonna do it like you want me to do it. Can you still walk in faith when you're not sure whether or not God has agreed to your expectation? I'm trying to learn how, whether he do it or not, I still call him good. I'm trying to learn to call him who he is regardless of my outcomes. Because the just can only live. Come on, do me a favor, ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, how you going to act if God doesn't do it? I need to sort of kind of bring some of us in. He ain't Santa Claus. He doesn't work for Make-A-Wish Foundation. He ain't at your beckoning calls like the American Western religion will make you think. Sometimes he chooses sovereignly, ain't doing that. And I would be discouraged, but I read a couple of scripture that now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, God, in the time when you're going to make me preach it here, sometimes he ain't going to do it because he got something else on his mind. Sometimes my expectations were too low. And he said, I ain't doing that. But check this out. I ain't going to do what I propose to do until your faith is built up. Until you call me good when you can't trace me. I ain't going to do the good I expected until you back up into faith and say, God is amazing. Sometimes he just sovereignly chooses to do something else. And the more I walk with him, more I'm becoming okay with it. My God can blow your mind. I'm saying it again. My God can blow your mind. And that's what the book of Hebrews begins to ascribe to us. And the Hebrews, it begins to exhort us. One theologian said it is a fivefold exhortation. The word exhortation, it means it is an utterance or discourse or address conveying an urgent advice or recommendation. If we're going to walk by faith, then the writer of Hebrews urges us how to do it. The theologian says it is a fivefold way that he does it. The first exhortation is, he said, if you're going to walk by faith, then you got to learn how to hold fast. He says you got to learn how to hold fast. Ephesians 3 and 6 is talking about hold fast to your confession. If I'm going to see the best thing that God has in mind, I got to learn how to quit being wishy-washy. Do y'all know, I'm not talking about you, but I know your friend. Have you noticed how wishy-washy they are? All they have to have is a little storm, and then they all over the place. Come on, tell your neighbors and neighbor, hold fast, hold fast. The first exhortation that Hebrews gives us is if we're going to see the great thing that God's going to do, we got to hold fast. The second thing that he exhorts us is not only must you hold fast, but you got to go on to perfection or you have to go on to maturity. Sometimes the getting is not the end goal. Sometimes the end goal is the process that he's working out in us. Our mind is always on the end goal. get me out of this fiery furnace. Get me out of this lion's den. Get this water from amidst the front of me. And sometimes it is not about moving the water, Ernest. Sometimes it's not about getting you out of the lion's den. Sometimes it's not even about getting you out of the fiery furnace. God's trying to mature you that you say, whether he delivered me or not, I know he's well able. For the baby say, please do it quick, fast, and a hurry. But the mature says, whatever you're doing, God, work it according to your counsel. Sometimes he's trying to develop our maturity. He's trying to move us on unto perfection. So he ain't going to do nothing until we grow up a little bit. He ain't going to do nothing until we learn how to use discernment. No, I got that. I'm going to get you out of the fiery furnace, but I got to teach you how to discern how you got here. Third exhortation, the message that he's urging them to, he's telling them to consider and not only hold fast, not only grow up to maturity, but he says also always consider your apostle and your high priest of your confession. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Always consider the apostle, the high priest of your confession. So when you're holding fast, when you're moving on to maturity, you got to often ask, what would Jesus do right here? What is Jesus praying? What is Jesus saying? I think that was very prophetic. I think that's why it went away so quick. We ought to always be asking, what would Jesus do? Oh, we know he wouldn't have started cussing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. We know he wouldn't have, did what they did unto him. Must not always just hold fast. We must not always be going on to perfection or maturity. We must often be asking of our apostle and our high priest, Jesus Christ. I'm going to come back to that later. Not only the asking, but we ought to consider how he has endured. You've not suffered into the crucifixion that he experienced. Why are we so dramatic when we're going through the little bit of stuff? I'm about to lose my mind up in here. They just didn't have no beans in the grocery store, that's all. I'm about to go crazy. They didn't have no cheese. Now you got to get American cheese. Have y'all? Come on, y'all. I know I'm not the only one. Somebody going crazy. What happened? My baby's crying. Your baby's crying. And you're about to lose your mind because your baby's crying. They didn't ask to come here. You brought me here. Consider him that endured such trials, such tribulation. If he endured what he endured, then y'all know we can endure just a little bit more. Last week, we were talking about the heat. Oh, it's hotter than here. We were going crazy. And a few weeks later, we were talking about how cold it was at night. Somewhere you got to get stable. Somewhere all that stuff can't move you like it moves you. You have to consider him that endured. Christ didn't lose it. Christ didn't get all out of it. He's trying to mature us. He's trying to keep us looking to Christ. He's trying to get us to hold fast. You don't know what you made of until you go through something that can prove you made of something. Man, I got 12 hand claps. I got 12 hand claps. Man, I'm preaching up in the air. Be careful what you declare and you don't realize you declared it. I just want to, I know God's in my life, but I want to know how strong he is in my life. Okay, keep talking like that. I know he did it for them, but I want to see him do it for me. Well, that means he got to orchestrate some circumstances so you can get their experience that you wish for. But regardless, when you're going through it, always keep looking to Jesus. When they talk about you, look to Jesus. When they scandalize your name, look to, no, don't look to Boo Boo and Ray Ray and all them because they did the wrong stuff. Look to Jesus. They spat on him. They put a crown on his head. They say, look at the King of the Jews. They did all kind of contradictory things to him. And one songwriter, hymnologist, said he never said a mumbling word. You walking in announcing on Monday. Don't y'all say nothing if it is me. I don't feel like really being here, don't y'all say. This might be the week that they want to talk to you, get saved. And because you didn't have no hot dogs last night, you talking about don't nobody say nothing to me. He exhorts us. In Hebrews, he exhorts us to consider him the endurer. That's in Hebrews 12 and 3. And then the final exhortation, the thing that he warns us, the things he recommends to us, the final thing is he gives us a series of let us. And they are powerful. He said, let us lay aside every weight and sin. He said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. He said, let us continually offer up sacrifice, praise unto God, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. These five exhortations are urgent nudges. This is how you walk by faith. You got to hold fast. This is how you walk by faith. You got to go on. Sometimes you have to say, it's time for me to become mature in that arena of my life. Let us go on laying aside every weight. I love what the preacher outline says in this introduction of Hebrews. It says believers are to open up their lives to these five exhortations. It says this writer is pleading with the believer to receive these exhortations. It is a book, the writer says, that begins with the essay. It is formed like a sermon, but then it concludes like a personal letter, exhorting us to go on to something, here go a word in Hebrews, better. He's trying to move, he exhorts us because he's trying to move us to something better. And this better is for the purpose of making us a faith-filled community that does extraordinary things. That we will become a faith-filled community that does extraordinary things. I was moved this week when I kept looking at the story of these young boys trapped in a cave. And they began to talk about, I couldn't remember the name of the men that are of that tribe, but they said nonstop when they found out the boys were there, these men, and I'm not really sure what of I know they weren't Christians, but they said from nonstop when they found out the boys were trapped, these men camped outside the cave, and they said, we're going to keep praying till they come out one by one. And I asked a question, if that happened in America, what would the Christians do? These people are not Christians. And I can't remember what faith they are. I just can't remember it right now. But they said on the news that they had a line of them standing up that didn't leave the cave for the whole experience. And I don't know if y'all heard the news this morning. They done got about the first five or six of them out. That's something we ought to clap about. I'm glad somebody know when to clap. But I started thinking in my mind, if this was America, do we Christians have enough time to stop and camp out and pray? Sometimes God is giving us a message and we don't even realize it is a message. They stand in that. Now we say they don't know God. We say they damned for hell. We say they have no Christ in the center of their life, but somehow they had faith in something that said, I ought to pray. And I'm not going to stop praying till these children come out. And you can say what you want, but now this morning they're walking out one by one. And it ought to nudge us that prayer works. Good God Almighty. It ought to exhort us to consider our high priest. If their God did that, what could our God do if we stood over Baltimore and begin to pray? God heal our city. And we ain't gonna stop till these murders stop. And begin to speak. God, let our government make the right decisions. We must now understand what we are exhorted to do. We gotta go do it.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.